When a young man enters the seminary, he has anywhere from 6 to 10 years of preparation before being ordained to the priesthood. Actually, in some religious orders, you study from anywhere from 12 to 14 years. And along the way, there are points of progress, clear lines that you are proceeding along the way. You are instituted as an acolyte. You're instituted as a lector. But the biggest step of all is when you are ordained a deacon. So every priest, before he becomes a priest, is first ordained a deacon about a year in advance of his ordination to the priesthood. And a young man can't wait for the day of his diaconate ordination, because it's then that he's finally able to really participate in the sacraments. He assists at the altar, he can publicly baptize, he can celebrate weddings, but above all else, and I think the vast majority, if not everyone, would say this, you can't wait to start preaching. So as soon as you're ordained a deacon, from that day on, you hardly ever listen to another homily, because as soon as the gospel is read, you're thinking, gosh, what would I say if I was in his position? Or how would I say that? So the day of my diaconate ordination, I had planned my first mass that I would preach at the next day. I planned an evening mass so that I would have an entire day to prepare a homily. Right? That would light up the whole world, right? Impress everybody. So all my friends, my family, they're there for the diaconate ordination. The next morning I get up and my mom says to me, now I had 3 or 4 priest friends fly in from out of state who had never been to California before. They were staying at our house. My mom says, you know, Jeremy, it'd really be great if you showed them some of California. And I said, Mom, you know, I got that mass tonight. I need to prepare a homily. She said, well, what if you just drive up to Tahoe, get there by 10 o'clock, rent a boat, be on the lake for an hour or two, head back by noon. You'll be here by 2 o'clock. You'd have 3.5 hours to prepare the homily. Now, for a daily homily, in all honesty, most priests, you normally have like 15 minutes, right? I would have 3.5 hours. So I think, gosh, that'd be enough time. So what happens? We get up to Tahoe, we get on the lake at 11. We get off the lake around 1:30. My friends are starving. We leave lunch at 3:30 and start to drive home. I'm in the front seat, and so 4 priest friends, 2 seminarians. We're driving along, the radio's blasting, they're all talking, laughing. I'm in the front seat reading the readings for the mass. Everything, oh my gosh, Lord, please, I'm starting to panic. And literally, I start sweating. And all of a sudden, I realize I don't have any paper to write down the homily on. And so I say, guys, do you see any paper in here? We're in my mom's Suburban. Everyone looks, no, huh, nothing. One guy says, well, here's part of a newspaper. I gave my first homily with a tiny little cutout of newspaper with 10 words written in the margin. So they hand me this newspaper. We're 45 minutes from Sacramento. I got to, my first mass was celebrated at St. Ignatius, my first mass that I preached at. We got there 5 minutes before the mass. So with 45 minutes to go, I get the newspaper, and I'm literally freaking out. The priest friend of mine driving the car, he looks over, and he has this huge grin on his face. And I was irritated. And I said, what? He said, Jeremy, get used to it. And I said, get used to it. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to do this to you over and over so that you don't interfere with his work. He said, so that I don't interfere with his work. He said, if you had hours right now to prepare a homily, it would probably be good, but there would be a whole lot of you in that homily. Right now there can't be any of you because you don't have time. It has to be all the Holy Spirit. I cannot tell you the number of times I have not had the time. I have not had the energy. I have not had the human resources to do what I think God is asking me to do. And it's normally then that he accomplishes his most beautiful works in my life. My brothers and sisters, the apostles are commissioned today. And what does our Lord do as he sends them out? Now this is, we hear these readings over and over again, so sometimes they don't strike us. But this is what he says the first time they're going out. He says, I give you authority over unclean spirits. that little kid might have an unclean spirit. I'm kidding. I give you authority over unclean spirits. Now think of this. The apostles, these guys are fishermen. One's a tax collector. John, he was probably a teenage boy, and our Lord tells him to go out and cast out evil spirits. I mean, and Matt, think of that. They're probably going, Lord, what are you talking about? How are we going to do that? In the Gospel of Matthew, he gives a fuller explanation of this. Our Lord does not just say, I give you authority over unclean spirits. He says, cure the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead. Think of the apostles going out into local towns thinking, I'm supposed to heal people. We have record of Peter and Paul actually bringing people back to life from the dead. Why? Not by their own power, but our Lord gave them His authority to do it. My brothers and sisters, how many times in our lives our Lord will ask us things that we are incapable of accomplishing. And why does He ask those of us? So that we learn to call upon Him to accomplish His works in and through us. And sometimes He'll ask something of us, and then He'll take away the human means to do it. We might not have the money. We might not have the job, the friendship we thought was so necessary in our lives, we lose. So that we rely entirely on Him. Since I've arrived at presentation, I have developed a great devotion to St. Maximilian Kolbe. In the last 3 years, I've read 3 books on his life, or 3 books about him. Maximilian Kolbe had a love for poverty. He didn't want to do anything unless he was totally poor, so that he would have to rely totally on Jesus to do it. And so he would actually say, he said, poverty is my capital. It's the way by which I can do anything, because I have to depend on God to do it all in my life. He says, without poverty and dependence upon the providence of God, one cannot talk of progress. My brothers and sisters, why, above all else, would our Lord ask the apostles to do the impossible? Cure, exercise, raise from the dead. All of it was in preparation for the day that He would ask of them the impossible of the impossibles. When on the night of the Last Supper, He would say to them, do this in memory of me. I want you to bring me down from heaven to earth by the power of your words and the authority I give you. St. John Vianney one time said, oh, how great is the priest. He can do what angels cannot do. If he realized what he is, he would die. God himself obeys him. He utters a few words, and the Lord descends from heaven to be contained within a small host. He asked the apostles to do the impossible of the impossibles and to hand that down for all generations so that the faithful in receiving that gift from their hands could then do the impossible in their own lives. As St. Paul said, I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. May we recall those words as we receive our Lord in the Eucharist today.